Welcome to the 16th episode of the Think Wildlife podcast. Today we have Trittiman Das from Darul Wildlife Conservation Trust. He is currently researching pygmy hogs in Assam.
Hi Trittiman, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks Anis.
So, a lot of your work revolves around pygmy hogs. What are pygmy hogs and what is special about this species?
Okay, so pygmy hog is world smallest pig. In all the pig species found in the world. So it's much smaller than our normal wild boar, which commonly found in the Indian forest. So it is like its maximum is length is around 60 to 65 centimeter, and the height is around 25 centimeter. And the adult male weight approximately 8 to 9 kg, and females obviously a bit smaller than males. And if you compare to normal wild boar, which found in the Indian forest, it's like 10 to 15% less bulkier. So it's world's one of the most rare Swede in the group, no? The very rare species. And it found in a very small, narrow grassland belts, historically found in these particularly grassland belts, and now only confined to the grasslands in Manas and Orang National Park. So these two are now stronghold.
Could you just elaborate a bit on where they are found across India?
Yeah. So as I already told you, we only found in the Tarai belt, which you commonly know as Sub-Himalayan grassland. Now we found only two population exist. One is in Manas National Park in northern bank of Brahmaputra, and another is where we our program reintroduced pygmy hog. It's in Orang National Park. So these two are only a national park or a protected area where pygmy hogs are confined. So, but historical range is, yeah, it's a greater. So as you know, it's all across the Rai, but yeah, from 60s or 70s, we know only these areas pygmy hogs are present.
Could you just please talk about the ecology of the pygmy hog a bit?
Yeah, so pygmy hogs is very much a grassland specialist species. So it only found in the Sub-Himalayan grasslands, where it's a very tall grasslands, drier kind of grasslands. And it's completely grassland. So if there is no grassland, so there is no possibility of pygmy hog presence. Also, pygmy hog is the only pig species which actually build all year long nest. And these nests are basically they prepared these nests through the cutting of the grass and all this, the surrounding vegetation, no? In the found, which species found in grassland, like particularly in Sakram, Narenga, or other species. So basically pygmy hogs are very much confined. They always build nests whenever we find pygmy hogs. So you always find nests. So, and the ecology, it's omnivore. Its food diet is obviously the roots of the grasses and other vegetation found in this area. And also a lot of insects, I think they feed upon insects. And also soil components and obviously some fruits during the fruiting time of the grasslands. No? So they also feed on the fruits. So that's their ecology.
So what are the main threats faced by the species?
Oh, okay. At present we have two population in pygmy hogs. One is in Manas and another is Orang National Park. So Orang is basically reintroduced population. So our program reintroduced pygmy hogs there, and now it's thriving. And Manas, which is actual original population, the major threats is like the degradation of the Sub-Himalayan grassland. So the degradation can be two way. One is obviously the natural process, like the natural succession, how the succession actually made these grasslands and converted to woodland. That's and shrinkage their habitat. And second is like a lot of anthropogenic disturbances, like the illegal grazing, and again the conversion of the big grassland chunks to other areas, no? Like agricultural land and all kind of thing. And then the invasive species, another problem, which is basically invasive alien plant, which comes under these grasslands, and they replace the native grass species of all kind of Sakram or Imperata, and and they make habitat unsuitable for pygmy hogs. So these are the major, though because it's very rare, so in fact we have only 200, less than 200 wild population in Manas, and that's one of the, that's the only wild population. So it's our last, for last 3-4 years we are doing a lot of science survey, Kepu camera trap, to estimate the population, and our estimate is it is less than 200. So the traits are very much there, and it poses a big risk for this species.
Could you just talk about the pygmy hog conservation project?
Yeah. So I will tell you a little bit background of the pygmy hogs. So pygmy hogs, as you know, in 60s, so people thought that pygmy hogs might be extinct from the wild. And then in 70s, Darrell Institute, Darrell Wildlife Conservation Trust, by basically Gerald Darrell actually himself. So he sent a researcher, and they actually looking for pygmy hogs in 70s, early 70s, they discovered pygmy hog in a habitat called Bornodi. Now it's a wildlife sanctuary. So Bornodi Wildlife Sanctuary. And in fact, this whole program's initial idea is starting from that period itself. So looking for the species and all these things. So then Dr. William Oliver, he is a scientist from Darrell Wildlife Conservation Trust. He actually surveyed the whole Terai Bill, extensive survey, and he write the first monograph of pygmy hog and Hesperia. So you can say from 70s, 80s, actually the ideas of a conservation plan for pygmy hog had been actually developed, or it was on a developing, or it was their mind on the Darrell Valley Conservation Trust. Then again, in the early 90s, we have a lot of insurgency problem happening in the northern belt of Assam, particularly Boro insurgency problem, Boro insurgency related issues, which actually devastated the protected area management of this northern bank. And that time, IUCN and the wild pig specialist group, IUCN's wild pig specialist group and other members thought that it might be important to save the species from extinction to build a captive breeding program to give a second chance to the species. So they started the first pygmy hog conservation action plan was started. That was developed in 1993, which basically said that the population is declining of pygmy hog for all areas. So that time, I think 4 or 5 protected areas in Assam have a pygmy hog population, and it's a mood of declining. So in 1995, the pygmy hog conservation program has been launched. So initially the program has been a joint collaboration between Darrell Wildlife Conservation Trust, as you know, and then IUCN Wild Pig Specialist Group, and then Forest Department of Government of Assam and Ministry of Environment, Forest Government of Assam. So it's a basically a collaborative project between government and private partners, or what is called non-government organizations. So it's a kind of a first time kind of a, that kind of public-private partnership to save a species has been initiated in India in that scale. So, and then down the line, two local partners in Assam to implement the project activities has been joined. One is Ecosystem India, and then in 2018, a local organization called Aranyak. So they also joined in the program. So now we have like 5 partners and we are running this project. So it has two major components. The program has two major components. One is captive breeding, and another is the reintroduction. Reintroduction is a big one. So the basic initial objectives of the program is to reduce population decline and to promote the recovery of the species. So these are the initial objective. And the short-term goal was to establish at least 3 wild and 3 captive population of pygmy hogs. So then we used to do conservation breeding, then we reintroduction after habitat restoration. We do a lot of habitat restoration and then we reintroduce. And then we also do a lot of assessment of grassland management practices, which is going on in the forest department, and give scientific recommendation based on how to manage these grasslands. And we do a lot of extensive activities for community development activities for fringe villages in these areas, like conservation networking and community intervention is also carried out. So this is an a broad like overview of the program.
So moving on from pygmy hogs to the habitat of the pygmy hogs. So grasslands are facing major threats around India. So why is this the case? Why are they so threatened?
So I am basically work on the Tarai grassland, South Himalayan grassland, because India has a different type of grassland. So I can talk about only this grassland. So if you see the Tarai grassland, it's very peculiar grassland and a very very critical ecosystems in point of view that it harbors a lot of mega herbivores diversity. Like we have tigers, we have rhinos, we have Asiatic water buffalo, som deer, and also like we have very critical species like pygmy hawks, Bengal furican, and hispid here. These are like very much a grassland dependent species, which called as a grassland special species. So these grasslands, initially, the whole narrow belt of the grassland, which starting from the Uttaranchal to up to Arunachal Pradesh in the below the Himalayas, is now actually exist in a very few protected areas. So there are some protected areas in India, particularly in the Uttar Pradesh, in Dudhua and Pilibhit and all these areas. Some exist in Nepal as a Suklafanta, Baradia, those grasslands. And very few remains in the North Bengal, Jaldapara Gurumara complex. And the rest is in Assam, which basically constitute the major is in the Manas National Park, around 250 square kilometer of grassland. And then we have a smaller bit in Orang and Deering and all these areas. So the biggest challenge is that the outside protected area, there is no grassland left. All are converted to agriculture land and different human activities. And secondly, inside the protected areas, the grasslands are very much threatened because of all these issues which I already mentioned, like the natural succession and all these things, because these are not climax grassland. These are successional grassland. So if you don't manage this grassland properly, and because of the size of the grasslands are so small, so there is always a chance to become, it's become to woodland. So in fact, there are a lot of grasslands in Assam and other areas that become woodland or like deciduous species composition, converted to deciduous species composition. So succession is the one challenge. Then obviously, how to manage this succession and how to develop a scientific intervention strategy, that is also very critical. That is also very much challengeful also in a sense, because these are multiple driver-laden ecosystem which actually manage different drivers, synergistic effect actually manage these ecosystems. And the now what is another major problem is the invasion of invasive species, particularly Chromolina or in a sense of Mycenia and other species. And also now these days, Lantana and other species also coming up in this grassland. So those are like one of the major challenges for these grasslands.
You mentioned about invasive species. So you had published a paper on the invasive plants in the Tarai landscape. So what were your findings in this paper, and why are invasive plants such a big threat, especially for grasslands?
Yes, correct. We published there are more papers coming up. So basically those works coming from our Manas work, Manas activities which we carried out as a part of our overall Darrell's rewilding approach. So the thing is, invasive species actually reducing the native species diversity. So, for example, the Chromolina, which is one of the most worst invaders, 100 world most worst invaders, so it's actually replacing a lot of grassland, native grassland species. And then actually not only shrinkage the native grassland, also it actually reducing the habitat, also the quality and the forage and everything related to this. So the invasive problem is, it's a very big problem. It's coming up like anything, and it's actually very much harmful for indigenous flora. So from our study, what we actually tried to see, like how much invasive actually found in the Manas, and what is the, like we try to predict like how much invasive can be coming up in the near future. So that's more on a prediction model, but also we do a lot of small intervention work, like how to do, for example, we develop what is called a cyclic intervention model, where we do seasonal invasive control in critical grassland which had a long history of pygmy hog presence. So we try to do small scale experiment, and what we learned from the experiments we shifted to forest department to turn those experiments to put these experiments ideas or the results in their management plan to have a bigger effect in this grassland. So that's important point. So we make a lot of observation, we do a lot of experimentation on the invasive, and also we share our knowledge with forest department and conservation partners to have more robust effect to manage the invasive species problem in this grassland. Yeah.
In a more broader scale, why is it so important to conserve grasslands?
Yeah, so as you know, the grasslands biome, like the bigger biomes on Africa or Australia, compared to our grasslands, is like what I am talking about primarily on the South Himalayan grassland, is very small. So the thing is, these grasslands are historically used by humans. And if you see the paleontological evidences or paleological evidences, so these grasslands have there for like thousands of years. It used by different species, like extinct megafaunas, no, like all the extinct elephants and all these things. They shivalik ranch and all these, they use these things. So it's important not only from conservation point of view, but also it's important for the human well-being. So in this grassland, the ecosystem where this grassland ecosystem formed, like the particularly in the Ganges belt and Brahmaputra belt, millions of people lived in these areas. So the human well-being also very much related with this existence of the grassland. So for example, a lot of ecosystem services it's provided. So all the major rivers from the Himalayas coming up from the northern Himalayan foothills, no, it's coming through this grassland. So these are very dynamic river system. So it moves, it seeps, it creates grasslands. And eventually from this grassland, it's a very dynamic ecosystem. So people live there, and it's a lot of ecosystem services, direct benefit, indirect benefit gives to people. Apart from the species, obviously species is there. So if you see the human, like how human use this landscape, it has a long history. So, but unfortunately, because of the lot of developmental activities recently, mainly from, you can say, from 1900, so it's shifted and it changes, like rapid changes is occurring. So now I think it's time to think about maybe we can create more grasslands, or you can say more lands for the grasslands, Tarai grassland particularly, to save this species. Also, as you know, these are the home of number of vertebrates, charismatic species, tigers, rhinos, water buffaloes, elephants, all these sombias, all these mega species found in this area. So maybe we can think on a more holistic way to save these grasslands. Yeah.
How do you think grasslands can be conserved in the Tarai landscape?
Apart from this protected area, so the grasslands is now only, as I already mentioned, the species found where the grasslands are mainly found in the Tarai areas. Tarai region. So obviously, we need a more nuanced understanding about managing this grassland. How we are going to manage this grassland, this successional grassland? That's one of the key challenges. And then obviously how the people, local people made the perception. For example, when we talk about a lot of things happening in the Assam, and particularly in the Manas landscape, so local people's understanding on this grasslands and how they use, so those things are also very critical, so that people can actually understand the conservation values of the grassland and how important this grassland for not only for all these rare critically endangered species, but also for their well-being also. So I think to understand this, a kind of a very comprehensive like understanding of this grasslands present, I think is very critical. And it has to be actually translated some kind of like policy intervention maybe, that is also important. So like a lot of initially, in 70s, 80s, people thought that these grasslands are wasteland, and they try to convert it to broader, like more on to the woodland, which can have some economic benefits. but actually not. These grasslands are not wasteland. It harbors a lot of rich variety of biodiversity. It harbors a lot of carbons. The carbons also, it work as a carbon sink also. It work as a barrier. It's flood cushion. No, all the mega major fast flowing rivers are coming through to the downstream through cutting this grassland. So this these wharfs are the flood cushion also. So this kind of active conservation, like this kind of benefits actually provided to local people has to be done. And conservation challenges as a long term, I think the managing these critically patches of the grasslands in the protected areas, I think it's a very challenge, and we need more scientific intervention and more nuanced approach how to protect or how to conserve these grasslands for not only for species and other benefits.
My final question is, so recently we've brought the cheetahs back in India. So do you think bringing them back in will help conserve the grasslands?
So I don't work on this the dry grasslands. I think it's a, I think scientists already assessed it. And I think might be cheetah can be an under. So what we are actually, suppose if you talk about pygmy hog as a species, and we introduced four different wildlife sanctuaries. So the restoration is very critical. So when we try to introduce pygmy hogs, we try to restore the grassland. And in our case, we successfully introduced in a three areas, but two cases we failed. Our population cannot thrive in those areas because there is no habitat there. So like in Sonai Rupai Wildlife Sanctuary, where our first reintroduction has started, and in the Bornodi, we completely failed because there is no grassland at all. But we succeed in the Orang because it has a grassland, and the protection regime and governance systems, how to manage this grassland is very well established. So I think the cheetah can also be a model for conservation in those areas, the dry grassland. But obviously, there are some another school of thought which thought that the other species, local species, are more important than cheetah. But it's a debate to understand how actually we look at the species to thrive a ecosystem in a different perspective. And yeah, I respect both schools' views. And yeah, if you take about, like, if you talk about our program, Pygmy Hog Conservation Program, we actually successfully conserved the species in, reintroduced the species in Orang, and the grasslands are doing well. Yeah.
Thanks for that. So that is my last question. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Anish.